This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You know that Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here. We got rain coming off the mountains and just another wonderful day. We're going to have a pretty good, healthy discussion with some folks out from Kaneohe. SaveKaneohe.org is the Hui O Pikoi Loa. Hui O Pikoi Loa, regarding a cemetery being proposed or the expansion. But before that, I have a little thing that caused me some concern, and we here in Hawaii and around the nation, we so often talk about all these things we do is for our children, for the future. All these things we do is for the land and for our future and tomorrow's youth. But I was just alerted, and it's been bothering me anyway. On CNN or MSNBC, there was a crawler that says Hawaii governor cuts budget for medical care or health care for keikis or our children. That's really sad, folks. And if you want to talk about politics, our governor is going to the mainland to pal with Palin or palling with Palin. And here we are cutting a budget for children here that need some medical care and what have you. Shame on you, Governor Lingle. Shame on you, legislators. And why the legislators, the state legislators, you bear the burden, too, or the responsibility and should be blamed for this. Because you just gave yourselves a 36% salary increase. So shame on you. And maybe folks out there, if there's any way that you can call, let's turn up their telephones and ring them off the hook. We shouldn't stand by and watch this. If they can travel abroad and campaign and pal with Palin and give themselves 36%, then they should be able to answer the phone and answer to us. So much said for that. But again, as I say, SaveKaneohe.org, that's a website you can find more about this cemetery proposal there in Kaneohe. And with me today is Mr. Grant Yoshimori.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Grant. And we'll also have Miss Julie McCready. And Grant, tell us a bit about this effort and your organization so the people out there can learn a little bit.
Okay, our organization is a group of, it's just our neighborhood and a lot of concerned citizens concerned about the planned expansion of Hawaiian Memorial Park. Hawaiian Memorial Park is in Kaneohe, as you mentioned, and they're planning on expanding their cemetery on about 56 acres of conservation land. The land is currently zoned conservation. They own the land, but they want to have it rezoned so they can expand the cemetery. The location is from their current location, so it's right off of Cam Highway. They're actually on Cam Highway. So it's from their current location all the way up to Pohainani. So as you're driving down Cam Highway, you'll be able to see Pohainani, the retirement residence, in the distance. And it's that whole mountainside that they want to expand upon. The plan includes about 30 acres of graveyard. They're planning also to have four large mausoleums. These mausoleums are 24 feet high and 200 feet long. So they're pretty big structures. They're also planning on having a lot of smaller family mausoleums. We tried to get them to say how many there would be, but in the response to the environmental impact statement, I think we'll talk about that later, I asked them how many there will be, and they weren't able to comment. They said it depended on demand. They're also planning on building 10 retention areas to capture water. This is to meet the Department of Permitting and Planning requirement that when a developer develops a property, they cannot allow more water coming off of the property than currently exists. So they're planning on building these retention areas. And again, as you mentioned, they can see our website, SaveKaneohe.org, And we have some pictures of the land, how it's proposed to be built, and some concept maps as well. And again, as I mentioned, it's all conservation land, so they need state and city and county approvals before they can go ahead with this change. And we're really trying to keep this land in conservation for all of Kaneohe and Hawaii to enjoy.
You're not just trying to keep it for Kaneohe. There's a greater impact here that you're concerned with, and that's runoff. This is a watershed, correct? The Ko'olaupoko, right?
Mm-hmm.
In reviewing many of these documents that we were able to obtain and looking at your website there, we really should be concerned, and thank you for fighting the battle and watching it. I'm probably sure that the people out there say that you're just a troublemaker, but keep good troublemaking up.
Yeah, thank you.
This proposal, and we'll get more in depth with it, is what I'm finding is that they're going to scrape or grade the entire area, correct?
They're planning on grading about 47 acres of that entire property, and so it's quite a bit.
And they're removing, they propose to remove all the trees there, correct?
Yes, and they want to replant it with native Hawaiian plant for some of it. I think it's like 11 acres or so are going to be revegetated.
Okay.
So, yeah, but they are planning on grading the whole
area.
But
when we say revegetated, not the native species or totally, or why would they do that anyway when it's a watershed? And why would you grade and they're going to fill some areas to 40 feet, 45 feet, correct?
Right. I think one of the reason why they're doing it is because they want to level out the area. There's some steep areas, and they're trying to make it more level.
Okay.
So I think that's one of the main reasons why they're going to be grading.
All right. Well, we also have, as we said earlier, Julie McCready was going to come on. And Julie, good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Yes. Thank you for calling in and joining us. Sorry you couldn't be here in living color, but we'll do the best we can.
I get to look at my beautiful Kaneohe as I'm talking to you. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, it's our Kaneohe, too, you know.
Our Kaneohe, yes. Our Kaneohe, yes, it is.
Okay. Anyway, join in with us here, and I'm saddened to learn yet another project that, as I've gained from it, it's been handled in a fashion that the public really, your back is against the wall, and you're having to volunteer and put together this effort and put your own monies out and all of that while this big machine is just churning away. So why don't you share with the public some of your experience, you and Grant and the other citizens out there?
Well, I guess my concern is, as we, Grant and I reviewed the final draft EIS, is Hawaiian Memorial Park were claimed that the visual and environmental impact will be minimal. Everything is minimal, but they claim to they want to deforest the hillside, grade it, then fill it in, and they said that there will be absolutely our very minimal effect on our Kaba Stream and our Kaneohe Bay. I've been doing some research, and Kaba Stream and Kaneohe Bay has been on the EPA 303D list of impaired water since 1998. And because of this plan, they're supposed to improve the water quality of the bay and the stream. But construction alone will only produce more sedimentation, which will eventually find its way into the bay. So to me, it's contrary to any kind of sustainability we're trying to achieve here in Hawaii. So that's why we're passionate about this, and we have the energy to try to fight it, because it's something that we need to preserve and protect for generations to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some bigger concerns, isn't there, historic sites or archaeological sites found there?
Grant, you were studying that more as far as the Heiau, the Kawaiwai Heiau.
Yeah, they found quite a number of historic sites. As part of the process to do the development, they had to do the environmental impact statement. And as part of that, they hired a company called Cultural Surveys Hawaii to do an archaeological inventory study. And they found quite a bit of historic sites. And there have been recommendations by the State Historic Preservation Division to keep those sites together and untouched. So, yeah, there are several historic sites there, and there is a big concern about keeping those sites intact.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm reading in portions of this, they propose putting a 100-foot buffer between the work area of the cemetery and the Heiau. In my opinion, and others, professionals, believe that that is not sufficient, number one, and stability and runoff and erosion. And 100 feet is a very shallow area. So what do you think about that? Do you think that's adequate? Was it properly addressed, or should it be denied?
Yeah, I think that the buffers are not adequate. They've since come up with a cultural, I think they're calling it a cultural preserve, mm-hmm. where they're going to keep a lot of the historic sites together in one untouched area. However, there's the purpose of that cultural area was to keep Kawaiwai He'iau and treat it as a cultural complex, as a He'iau complex. So these other sites, they have significance to Kawaiwai He'iau. One of them is a housing area. And one of the comments that was received on the draft EIS said that they suggested that that housing area was where the priests of the He'iau would stay.
Mm-hmm.
With the current design as they proposed it, there's a road driving right between the He'iau and this housing area. So it's not keeping in context with that He'iau complex.
Now, when you
driving
say
a road right between there,
you say a road. This is a road that is proposed.
Right.
It doesn't exist now, right?
Right.
I want to make sure because it wasn't a historical road there.
Right.
Okay. So this is something, and instead of protecting it, they're going to drive a road right through it.
Right.
So, yeah, I was reading some of that, and I just think it's difficult to accept that the DPP has handled it the manner in which they have. One of the things, Julie, the grading. What's your insight or input on the grading? Are you have any concerns with that?
Like I said, I'm concerned, well, because my family and I were avid boat users, and we go out in Kaneohe Bay quite frequently. And like I was saying before, the Kava Stream in Kaneohe Bay has been on the EPA's list of impaired water since 1998. This is a matter of concern. They developed the Kaneohe Bay Task Force back in 1990 because they were concerned about the amount of nutrients and sediments that were going into the bay that could possibly affect the coral and the limu and the turtles. And so when you're talking about construction, you're talking about grading a hillside, cutting down trees, filling it in. They said that they have best managed practices that are going to be put into place. They're going to put in silt fences, and they're going to mulch the area and put in grass sod. But who I'm concerned is who's actually going to monitor these best managed practices to ensure that the integrity of the bay is kept intact. Because as we know right now, the bay, the coral is rapidly dying. I know a lot of that has to do with global warming, but I'm sure it also has to do with human activities and the construction that's going on so rapidly here in Kaneohe. And if they plan on grading 56 acres of land, that sedimentation is bound to land up in our bay somewhere along the line. And who's going to stop it, and who's going to monitor it to make sure that further damage is not done? Since Kava Stream and Kaneohe Bay are already on the list of impaired waters, we need to find ways to improve the biological integrity of the stream and the bay, not add further pollution to it.
Right. And well, you know, what goes up must come down.
Of Yahoo Flaw, exactly.
Right. And I don't know about the effects of global warming. Pundits and politicians and biologists and scientists are still debating and wrangling over that. But what I can tell you is that we know factually that there's a red ring that circles the island, and that red ring comes from agriculture practices, grading, and construction. So no question about it. If you're interested in calling in, callers, listeners, 524-1080, and you can speak with Julie McCready or Grant Yoshimori regarding the development of Hawaii Memorial Park Cemetery expansion. But one of the things that also, Grant and Julie, that I, in reading this, some of this land is Ag 1?
Not the proposed development that they're planning on expanding. Some of their current property is Ag 1. I think I'm not quite sure where in that development it is, but the existing cemetery is zoned. But the extension that they're planning is all conservation land right now.
Well, up here, the site, the tax map key 45331, that encompasses a 7.9-acre portion of the 164.4-acre lot.
Right.
It is zone Ag 1, Restricted Agriculture District,
yeah.
P1, Restricted Preservation District, and P2, General Preservation District, right? So they had a zone change back in 1985, correct?
Right.
And so this project has been creeping in increments. And I've started way back in the 90s, and they're taking it in increments, because if they had a proposed that they wanted it all in one swell, fell swoop, it would be simply, you'd be putting up a bigger fight, but you're seeing it taking in increments.
Right. That expansion that you're talking about is the Ocean View Gardens. That was their latest expansion to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Extension has a, I guess there's a right of way from the Hawaii Veterans Cemetery in order to get to that location. The planned expansion that they're planning right now is, again, all in conservation land, and it's right adjacent to the Ocean View Garden.
Right.
So it'll be an extension, essentially, of the Ocean View Garden to all the way down to Pohainan.
And they're needing state land to gain access.
Yeah, they're crossing over state land to
do
that.
So there should be some DLNR concerns and what have you. Julie, what other things have you found that, other than the reef concerns or the water quality, any other issues that you...
You know, the thing about the conservation land, I guess, is very upsetting to me, because when we purchased our house 20 years ago, we were told by the realtors, there's no need to be concerned because that hillside's going to remain forever green because it's conservation land. And I think HMP, or SCI, purchased that land knowing it was conservation land and hoping somewhere along the line that they could rezone it. But to me, what's the sense of having conservation land if you can rezone it? If they allow this to happen to our hillside, it's going to set a precedent for the rest of the Windward Coast. It'll start going out towards Kahalu and always out to North Shore, because I would think that conservation land is sacred and it's meant to be preserved for future generations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time for the community to stand up and say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need a hillside full of concrete vaults, steel caskets, formaldehyde. You know, it makes absolutely no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I've been researching is that the cemeteries asked, they do not need to disclose any kind of chemicals or anything that they use in the burial process. There are no regulations that require the cemeteries to monitor their discharges. Although there are researchers in Canada and in South Africa and in Denmark and Australia, they've published papers that talk about the possible contamination and chemicals in the burial process that could pose serious threats to our drinking water and our groundwater supplies.
Mm-hmm.
But the United States has done little research on it. When I've done some internet research, I found that there was one article written by a professor at the University of Toledo. And she did claim that there needs to be more studies warranted to make sure that cemeteries close to residential areas do not pose threats to public health.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at some of the documents, and the site is only 25 feet above a residential subdivision.
Well, if I walk out my front door, they're proposing there's a little peninsula right there, because they can't go, is it grant above 20% slope?
Right.
Is that correct? So where I live, if I go out my front door, I'll be looking at a roadside and graveyard up on the hillside right across the street from myself.
Well, it's 25 feet what we're gleaning from the documents. That's the distance. But we have a call on the line, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I just have a question. I assume Julie just says she lives in a subdivision. I'm sure it's a large subdivision. I'm sure this subdivision has taken up land, be it not conservation. But if you're talking about pollution, I think a subdivision of many, many homes would cause more pollution than a graveyard would of lawns and burial grounds. Every house in that subdivision is polluting by putting fertilizer in their lawns and washing their cars. So when I hear people talk about we don't want a cemetery because it would cause pollution, I don't think that's the main issue. This subdivision probably was prior preservation land, which was rezoned for subdivision. So when you listen to these protesters, you always have people protesting large projects, but they themselves live in this large project, which when it was constructed, it was digging and building roads and all kinds of things, more so than what a cemetery would present. That's my question. And right. Why is she protesting this? I prefer to have probably a large, beautiful cemetery with trees than perhaps another subdivision there if they get it rezoned. Preservation land is normally to preserve watershed. That's my understanding. Thank you.
Right, Steve. Well, you don't have to hang up. I'm sure Julie and Grant probably have a response to you. And mine, just so you know, Steve, people did, in fact, protest the development, the housing development as well. So, and to each his own. But Grant and Julie, anything to say to Steve about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, when they did the development, Conway has had several stages of development. And in the earlier times when they were doing development, there was a lot of damage to the bay. I mean, I remember as a child looking out in the bay, and you'd see it, it's just brown. And it's from the development that was going on at the time. And I think what we're concerned about is going forward, we don't want to have that repeat. We don't want to have, during construction, some sediment going into the water. I mean, there are more laws now in place that are supposed to protect the bay. But, you know, the houses are there, and one of the studies that they had was to determine where the pollutants were coming from that, mm-hmm. that was going into Kava Stream. And residential area was one of the higher contributors, but also the cemetery was also labeled as a big contributor to the pollutions and the solids that were going into the water. So to take that conservation land as it is now, which is all forest, and to convert that into cemetery, you know, that's a big concern for us, because right now the forest is the trees there help keep our environment clean. It helps with the sound buffers, and there's so much that the trees offer us, and not to mention the scenic quality that it provides. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm. Julie?
Well, I was just saying there was a similar construction project that contributed significantly to the pollution in Conaway Bay back in 1990-2000. When they developed that other portion of the cemetery, and there was a Kava Stream bioassessment that was done,
mm-hmm.
and they stated that at that point they had the silt sensors up. There was nobody monitoring it to make sure that that they were constructed properly. So there was sedimentation that was put into the stream,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really sure how long it's going to take for any kind of sedimentation that once it ends up in the stream, how long it's going to take for it to flush out completely. So something that's done now could stay with us for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the cemetery is concerned, yes, I know it's still considered open space, but it does take fertilizers, herbicides, pesticides, water to irrigate 30 acres of turf grass for a cemetery. And besides that, they're going to put in four mausoleums, 24 feet high, 200 feet long. There's going to be concrete vaults in our hillside. There's going to be, like I said, coffin wood. There's going to be formaldehyde in the bodies. So how could we even compare that to a hillside, a beautiful forest? There's just no comparison.
Well, as you can see, listeners like Steve out there, they'll take you to task. And that's what I like about being here. You know, it's everybody's going to call in, and they're going to chime in and give you their likes or dislikes or express themselves. I really appreciate people like Steve and others. And you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of the things that what interests me about this project, and that is, I'm always concerned, whatever the results are or the end results of the proposals, what bothers me or troubles me and why I'm so aggressively interested in this is that how do we get from the original proposal, do we follow all of the rules? And like Steve is saying, you know, there's pollution from the buildings. Well, that's fine. But in the old days, you could do anything you wanted to do. Today, though, there are rules and guidelines in place, and it is the purpose of this discussion is to try and point out that some of the rules have not been followed, or some there's some questions. And just as an example, just yesterday, there was an article in the Honolulu Advertiser speaking about they are now the developer of the cemetery is proposing or withdrawing the promise or the plan to build 20 houses
Right, that's correct.
So, you folk had went out and got people to comment on the original draft environmental impact statement, right?
Right.
And part of that proposal that you were commenting on was what? 20 houses involved, right? And some of the other things. So do you believe that by them withdrawing that portion of the proposal or the development, do you think you had an adequate chance to actually comment on the real proposal, or what? What's your say?
Yeah, when the draft EIS came out, they had put in there that they were planning and originally proposing 20 houses. These 20 houses are going to be right next to Pohainani subdivision. So a lot of the neighbors and a lot of the comments that were received, there were over 100 comments that was received for the draft EIS. A lot of the comments were concerned, with the entire development and also with the housing. So since then, the developer has changed that. I think largely because of the issues with the Heiau. I think they were having trouble getting access into that area. There was also some issues with water. There wasn't enough water to provide to those houses. So since then, they have removed the houses. So the plan has changed. They've now resubmitted the final EIS, and in the final EIS, the houses are gone. So we'll have I think the Land Use Commission is going to be having a meeting. I think it's scheduled for November 6th. I think that's still a tentative date. That will be an opportunity for us to say, to voice some concerns about what has the new plan.
Yeah. Well, we spoke about this yesterday, and I think that, and I'll tell you again on air, you're shooting yourself in the foot. The problem here is, as I've researched these documents, on July 23rd, we'll just start from that date, Henry Ng wrote to Jay Morfitt of the Hawaii Memorial, right? Life Plan Limited, who's proposing this. Now, in there, he tells Mr. Morfitt that there were at least 7 points and subpoints that he needed to clarify in his draft environmental impact statement. So you folk were out commenting on a draft environmental impact statement with conditions as they were proposing it. So you were commenting on that. You had 30 days to comment. But in the meantime, your comment period started when? June?
Yeah.
And it went for 30 days, let's say, into... But in July 23rd, Henry Ng is writing to Morfitt saying, you need to clarify the things that you have in the environmental impact statement or the draft environmental impact statement. So in other words, I'll describe it as the public is being duped in that... They're given one thing to comment on, so the proposed policy, the proposed plan of development that was submitted so you could comment on really wasn't the factual one, the real one. Meantime, Henry Ng should have held that document, that draft environmental impact statement, and then required Morfitt to submit his responses so they would go into the draft environmental impact statement, so then you could have a healthier and a more understanding response. But it didn't happen that way. So, meantime, you submitted your responses, and in turn, the responses have gone in, and now you're going to wait till the Land Use Commission. That's a whole different ball game. Henry Ng should have held up submitting that to the OEQC, Office of Environmental Quality, and he didn't do that. So you basically have been duped. And then that now to say that you're going to go to the Land Use Commission, I think you're cheating yourself in a sense, because I would ask Henry Ng if I was your organization, not advising you, but my recommendation is if you were commenting on a proposal with certain conditions and actions that were proposed, then you should have adequate information to render an opinion or render letters, your objection or your whatever. Mm-hmm. But you didn't get that chance. So now, Morfitt gets to incorporate those things into the final environmental impact statement. You don't have a say in that. Now you got to go to the Land Use Commission. That's a whole different ball game, and it's a different commission. And my recommendations would be to go back to Henry Ng and say, we think that you should reopen this because it is substantial. Removing that 20 house unit is substantial. And those points that he raised in his July 23rd letter is substantial, not minor. Mm-hmm. And then this happened once before in Wailea Country Club, where they had a problem there, similar. Comments were going in, and so they made a change because the public was objecting to it.
Right. I see what you're saying, and that we didn't get a chance to see Henry Ng's comments until the final came out, and there's some issues about the final EIS. The developer is not going to be sending out the final EIS until it gets finalized, which I think is too late. But the process is that the draft EIS, or the EIS process, goes to the OEQC, and the OEQC published it. And during that process, they request for comments from all of the different agencies, both city and state agencies. So Henry Ng has been very critical, and I think he's done a good job. He's pointed out a lot of concerns, and
yeah, but you're
I'm
still
thankful
sitting,
of that.
You're still sitting here holding the bag. I'm not here. My purpose isn't to promote Henry Ng. Mm. I'm saying to you that if you want some results, you can send him flowers if you like, I'll pitch in with you. But I'm talking about the facts here. This document, you folk were out there submitting, fighting and spending your hard-earned dollars, volunteering your time to comment on something that really wasn't factual, wasn't true. And then you in turn now, you say he's doing a good job and he's a fine man. No problem. He probably is. He's a good man, good husband. But the point is, you're here fighting a fight that he has chosen to deny you the opportunity to comment on factual and the proposal, that the real proposal, not a stand-in. So it's not about who's nice, who's naughty, who's bad. This is about if you're going to fight your fight, Grant, I would say that's where I would start, and saying to him, give us another shot at this, because the changes that while you knew we were commenting, you knew that it wasn't factual, so you should have alerted us, the public, because you had already notified and testified in public hearings, right?
We've done it. The EIS comment period is all through letters, so you write your comments to the Land Use Commission, I think to the OEQC, as well as to the developer.
But this thing has been before the Neighborhood Board out there, too, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm with you, brother. I'm just trying to tell you, you have been, the community out there have been duped. There is no way Henry Ng should have sent a letter out on July 23rd telling them you need to, that draft environmental impact statement that you have, you should change it because it doesn't address the issues, the real issues that the public are concerned with and that we're concerned with as an agency, regulatory agency. But I won't say anything to the public. We'll just go ahead and let them continue to submit their comments. In the meantime, you just take these points in and put them into the final draft, and then they can fight it out there. But once it's in, once the closing comment period, you got nothing. So you go to the Land Use Commission, there's two separate entities. So anyway, we have Patricia. And sorry, Patricia, are you there?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a comment or a concern that is very dear to me. I do live in the neighborhood. I'm familiar with this fight and the process that we've been going through. We did know that there was a possibility that the cemetery people would change the plan, alter the plan.
Mm-hmm.
My concern that I have, they've removed the 20-home subdivision, but they're still going forward with this rezoning of 56 acres from conservation to urban, which I strongly oppose that precedent.
Mm-hmm.
What's to stop them, once they have those 56 acres zoned as urban, later on, after everything settled down, from going back and trying to develop it into a residential subdivision or a portion thereof? I'm very concerned about it. This company's MO is to buy cemeteries around the world and rezone and develop for profit. That's their MO.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they have honest and good intentions in this process that they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my one of my big concerns that I have.
Right. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And do know that they've even acquired a sewer connection application, right? And what are they going to do with that? Was that for the 20 houses?
Yeah, I believe that was for the 20
houses. So,
what about the restroom that's going to be up by the cemetery?
The restroom?
By one of the mausoleums, Grant. Remember the restroom
right.
up there? Maybe that's for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they got that. But keep in mind now, the sewer connection application, they talked about the number of existing units and what they say there's a new units, 20. one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom, five bedroom, six bedroom, right? That didn't say, it just says proposed units. So they got this sewer connection. And for you folks out there, if you're interested in the number, is it's in zone 4503301. And that is the application number for that is 2007/SCA-0256. So what they've done, Grant, is actually taken out a sewer application. Now, knowing that they've now withdrawn the 20-unit proposal, so Julie, maybe what about that bathroom? Did they have this all as part of their plan anyway? They never intended to do the 20?
Yeah, that
we often thought that was like a bargaining chip, you know? It was just, let's pull that in there and get them concerned about that, and then eventually we'll drop it, and then we'll just go for the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned 20% grade slope. Now, in the city and county of Honolulu, you can't build a driveway over 19% slope.
Right.
So why are they allowing a 20% slope up there? And this is soil. If you look back in the soils, they identified the type of soils as classified by USDA as subclass 3A soils. These are subject to severe erosion if they are cultivated and not protected. Also, class 7 soils, which have very severe limitations and are generally limited to pasture or range, woodlands, or wildlife habitat, have a very severe risk of erosion. So now if you take that, that's the natural state, and it's been up there and preventing erosion. Now you're going to come in and remove all of the trees, which holds down, and you're going to plant grass, and they're proposing to plant trees. There's going to be, until the trees gain root, the grass is going to die eventually because the trees are going to shed out. Then what's going to protect the erosion or prevent
right,
erosion?
And that's, you know, that leads to one of our big concerns is that they're planning to build these retention areas, mm-hmm. to keep the water on the property. And that's a big concern for us. They've designed these retention areas for a 10-year, one-hour flood. And H&P says that that they're just going to build it up to that regulation because that's the current regulation that they have to stay with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about Kaneohe here, and it rains a lot in Kaneohe. So we're really afraid that building to only that 10-year, one-hour flood is insufficient,
mm-hmm.
that when there's a big rain, we're afraid that those ponds or that retention area, mm-hmm. is not going to be able to hold that amount of water. And those retention areas are right above our residential neighborhood. So if they do overflow, that's going to just cause a huge, I mean, it's going to be a mess.
Right. Well, Julie, are you there?
Yes.
What are you, any other insight or concern?
I was just thinking about, remember we had the 40 days and 40 nights, the rain?
Mm-hmm.
Our whole neighborhood was flooded, you know, and that's when we have a forest up there. So if they're planning on cutting down, like you said, cutting down the trees, and they keep saying that the water recharge is going to be the same for turf grass as it is for a forest, it's just hard for me to believe that, you know?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So the calculation that they use to determine how much water is coming off of the property, as Julie mentioned, they're saying that the amount of water that the forest can hold is the same amount of water that the lawns will hold. And we think that's an underestimate. And these ponds are designed, they're not big enough. They're not going to hold enough water as they should. In fact, reading through the comments that came back to the final EIS, the State Environmental Planning Office recommended that they increase the amount of design of capacity for those ponds.
Did they do that in their draft?
No, they did not.
Yeah, they're not addressing the issues.
So they're not addressing the issues, and you folk are going to wait until it goes, leave the hands of DPP, who has the regulatory authority, and put all your monies and hopes and lucky charms with the Land Use Commission?
How do we stop the final EIS if it's already been printed?
Well, that's my point. What's wrong with just simply writing a letter to Henry Ng and asking him, based on the substantial aspect, the substantive conditions that the changes were made and the failure to address them substantively? What do you do?
Do you have the authority to do that?
Well, you're asking me if you have a right to write your senators and congressmen. I'm just trying to bring to you, and I've shared this with Grant, the point is, you might wish to, it's your choice, you might wish to
wait until it handed the ball is handed to the Land Use Commission and stage your grounds there, your battleground there. But there's nothing to prevent you or prohibit you. I mean, if you're fighting a public battle, is to write Henry Ng and say that we believe that what and how you handle this, to have us commenting on something that wasn't factual while you're writing to the developer saying, you know, what you propose in your draft environmental impact statement and the public is commenting on, you know, wasn't factual and doesn't reflect the actual proposal, then we have been defrauded. And so therefore, and you make that statement or that claim because in June you're making comments on a draft environmental impact statement that's already submitted with a closing date of comment. And then here in late July 23rd, there's a letter here he's writing to the developer saying, you didn't address many of these issues and they're not in the draft environmental impact statement, but put them in the final statement and the public won't have an opportunity. Henry Ng should have then said, it's too substantial and the omissions and the oversight is too substantial and we don't believe that the public is getting a fair reading of what is actually being proposed. And I don't believe you need an act of Congress, personally, to write Henry Ng or write Mayor Hanneman. He's the one who appointed him. But, you know, if that's, you know, Grant, you might have an objection to that, but, it's your fight, and I'm just trying to bring some light to the subject and give you some exposure on this.
Yeah. Well, I wrote to Mayor.
What was your response from the mayor?
Just talking about, I felt the travesty that was happening to the hillside here, because he keeps claiming to be an environmental hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we in Kaneohe are trying to be environmental heroes. We're trying to save 56 acres of conservation land, and he just said he'll be scrutinizing the draft, the EIS, carefully, and for me to make comments to it, you know.
Right.
That, it was basically just a...
Well, you know what I would do? My recommendation? What I would write, and I'll provide a Grant with a number of these documents, and he has some already. And that one, July 23rd, 2008 letter is in the final EIS.
Right.
Yes. So if I was you, I would write the mayor and say, Mayor Hanneman, thank you, and you said you'd be overseeing this project, giving scrutiny to it, bringing to your attention that we were commenting on something that really wasn't factual. We were presented with some things that really wasn't the actual proposal, what was being proposed. So, therefore, we ask that you reopen it and take Mr. Ng to task for forwarding that or submitting that prematurely to the OEQC.
Yeah, I think within the final EIS is Henry Ng's letter, and the developer did respond to a lot of the comments that Henry Ng had made.
Mm-hmm.
And in fairness to Henry Ng, they asked him for his comments. So the way the process worked is the draft EIS went directly to the Land Use Commission. So Henry Ng didn't have a say in preventing it from getting to the Land Use Commission.
But did he notify you that there were some substantial information missing that he is asking this person to clear up? But, I mean, if you feel comfortable with that, I by all means, go for it. I think you should take Henry Ng with you and sit there
that's
wrong with doing that, Grant, you know?
He's raised a lot of the issues, and I think in the responses that came back from the developer to that letter.
When did you see them?
This is a letter written October 8th, and this is goes back to the process, you know. Right now, the developer doesn't have plans to send the final EIS to everybody who's commented. And I think that, you know, in fairness, that it would be good if we could get a copy of the final EIS so everybody has an opportunity to look at it. So not everyone has seen this letter in that it's in the final EIS, but again, they haven't distributed it for people to look at. But in that letter, they address some of his concerns, but they don't address all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of concerns that he's raised that are very legitimate concerns,
right.
And I feel that the developer has not responded to them. So I think we do want to write to Henry Ng and ask him, you know, can you double-check and look at what the responses were and raise any additional concerns that you see that they didn't meet all of the requirements that he set forth. So I think he's done a good job in identifying all of the issues, but we want to make sure that that all of those issues that he's raised have been addressed.
Well, you know, the worst thing I could do is be rude and sound rude to you. But if a man is drowning and he asks, throw me a rope, and I throw you a rope and you tell me it's too long, and you're going to wait for Henry Ng to come and throw you a rope, I have no issue with that. But what this does, it sends out to a message to our devoted listeners like Steve. Where are you coming from? I mean, your back is against the wall. You're taking your own money. Your heart turns, and I've shared with you and pointed you out that you were commenting, and I keep saying this, I'm like a broken record. Henry Ng gave you a document and said, here's a draft environmental impact statement. Public, go ahead and comment on it. Meantime, he knows that it's not adequate. It's not thorough. It didn't address some of the specific points, critical components of that. Critical. He didn't tell you. Now, you're here defending him, saying he's a nice guy. This show isn't about finding out who's a nice guy. This show is about bringing the voice of the community to the forefront. Because you're investing a lot of time in the Land Use Commission. You're going to maybe get 1 minute to make that speech, right? And once it's finalized, you see, I think your understanding is clouded, but that's up to you. And again, just be concerned that if you want support, people like Steve will eat you up and spit you out, because they are saying, hey, you got a mixed message going on here. So I would encourage you to go back and ask your people, your group, because you were duped. I'm sorry. You know, we can leave the name Henry Ng out. But if my brother did this, presented this package this way, I would say to my brother, you duped me. You know, so this is, when you're fighting community fights, it's about, you know, who's naughty or who's nice. It's about who's doing right for the public. And you, again, what you're sending to people like Steve, and you'll trigger that, hey, well, you already got your house, so what does that mean, you know? So now you're saying Henry's a nice guy, so what is your fight, you know?
Our fight is we do want to keep that conservation land as conservation land, and we really don't want to have that development done in our property, so.
All right. Yeah. Well, we got another caller. Rob, are you there?
I'm here, Carol.
Yes. How are you?
Good, sir. Carol, you know, as a member of Ina Haina, we fought a very similar fight on having a cemetery built in the back of our valley on conservation land.
Uh-huh.
And, the whole community rallied against it. As it turns out, you know, we came out ahead, and we won our fight for now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, does anyone know, if this may not have anything to do with anything, forgive me, but is John Henry Felix a member of this corporation for building memorial parks? Does anyone know?
He used to be the CEO of Bothwick, which is Hawaii Memorial Park, but then he sold it to FDI.
Oh, so he's not directly involved?
Yes, no, because he sold it to FDI, but I heard that he is involved with the cemetery and...
Uh-huh.
City councilman, yeah.
Okie dokie.
You got any advice, or would you exchange off air with Grant, and maybe you can share with him some of your experiences or what contributed to your success?
You know what I'm afraid of, Carol, is that they're fighting an uphill battle in the sense that there is a memorial park there already,
mm-hmm.
And so what are they doing? They're just asking to really extend it further, right?
Right.
And I would say I don't know, because we were able to stop it dead in its tracks before it before the proposal in our community got started.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, I'm at a loss. I think they're doing the right thing, though.
Right.
Carol, you know, trying to follow all the steps to get there to prevent it from going any further.
Well, we're going to see if we can help, and I'm sure out there. Grant, you are also looking for legal representation, right?
Right.
Go ahead and give your pitch on that.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to excuse myself and listen to you folks.
Rob, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, we're hoping we could find some pro bono legal assistance to help us through the LUC hearings. So we've been calling around trying to find someone who would pick up our case and help us and help represent us during that process. So if there's anybody out there who knows of some land use attorneys who would be able to help us and be able to provide some pro bono assistance, that would be great, you know. They could visit us on our website at savekaneohe.org. We have an email address that you could leave a message for us, or I guess they can call your show and leave you that information and you'd get that to us.
Right, right. Well, Julie, I appreciate what you're doing, and Grant, I appreciate what you folk are doing, and always know that, you know, my comments is one thing, but I deal with this daily. I deal with 8, 9, 10 issues within a week with the DPP. And sad to say, they all resemble the same, they're handled the same way. It's, as Rob say, an uphill battle. And nothing like fighting an uphill battle when you have a government agency pouring oil in your path. And that's what happened here. Because you should have the opportunity as citizens to review these documents. And take, for example, you right now, you're the only one that have a copy of the final environmental impact statement. And they did respond to Henry Ng's comments, but the rest of the community is in the blind.
Exactly.
So at what point was Henry Ng going to inform? I mean, did he send you a copy? I mean,
That came from the attorneys for the developer.
Right.
Because I filed as an intervener in the land use process.
Right.
And because of that, they sent me a copy.
So do you have a copy on your website? How does the other group, portions of the group, view this?
I'd like to digitize this document, but it's like over 800 pages. And
but is it electronic? Is it on CD? I mean, it's electronic.
Not yet.
But they could do that if they wanted to expedite it. I mean, they can do anything they want to, right?
Right.
So I would say, if I was you, I would encourage you to write whoever gave you a copy and say, you know, look, we're out here, we're desperate, we're craving for knowledge on this. Please, we don't have any money. Send us a copy or give it to us so we can post on the website. But again, they can get information from your website, which is what?
SaveKaneohe.org. And I want to thank you for having us on your show and giving us the opportunity to share with everyone our concerns about this development.
Right. Well, there are many other points, and I'm going to provide you some of the points that we went through and looked at these documents and reviewed them. And I think it should help you along the way. And then I'll be working with you. I just think yet another opportunity, failed opportunity for the government to do what's right by the people. And people like Steve, who got valid points, but if we don't approach them logically and fair, then we're just going to have a mess in our hands here. And the floods, and that is a water table up there. That's the real issue, drinking water. You're taking and putting this process on the high. Yes, there are graves already there, but I wish they weren't there, because that's the highest point, and that's where water's coming in the rain areas, right? And that's the problem. But anyway, this is the Carol Cox Show, and I appreciate you tuning in. And Grant and Julie, thank you.
Thank you.
And anything, Julie? Real quick.
The other thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, they're in a process right now of constructing another cemetery in Hawaii Kai.
Okay.
You know, which is another, I'm not sure how many acres, but 56, 60 acres or whatever.
Well, we got less than a minute, so
okay.
Go ahead. Real
quick. We live on an island where land is finite and precious.
Right.
How many new cemeteries do we need? Especially with baby boomers who are preferring cremation over interment.
Okay.
I mean, it's something I think we need to consider.
Yeah. Well, that'll be another show. And
be glad to talk about that too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Julie, and joining us, and thank you, Grant. And this is the Carol Cox Show at KWAI 108 AM. Thank you. Aloha.
You know that Ross Ross's Appliances and Furniture is the leading appliance and furniture recycler in Hawaii. Ross's has been producing quality new and renewed appliances for decades. Ross's now debuts their new Green Bed Factory, Hawaii's environmentally conscious mattress and box spring factory. You can save your budget, your back, and the planet all at the same time at Ross's. Go green, save green at Ross's Big Green Building. Check it out for yourself. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and they guarantee it.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.